Hello, Roger here, and just a few notes before I start getting into things. Sorry it's been so long between this and the last podcast. Basically, contact between Kieran and I hasn't been so great. We do live half a world away from each other. Also, another thing, this podcast is going to be fairly different to previous ones, and so it's just going to be me, just me. And the reason why I've decided to do this is one, I've wanted to ever since me and Kieran started making podcasts, and I thought this would be a way to show insight into my mind and how my thought process works. And I believe it's been a while and I should produce some content. And also this podcast is going to be edited, and I'm learning a little more of how the software works, and it's going to be polished up and well done, hopefully. So there's a couple things I wanted to talk about. The first one I've been thinking a lot about, and that's the notion of ego, and ego being this inner evil inside of you that you perceive to be yourself when really it's not you. And I've been reading a little bit of this stuff by this guy called Eckhart Tolle, and he supposedly conquered his ego, and now he doesn't, everything your ego does, he just doesn't look at it anymore. He doesn't look at himself in the way regular people does. He doesn't need this, he doesn't stop and stare in the mirror at himself, or he doesn't care about his parents or how he's viewed or something. And everything that ego does gives you. And I've been thinking, if ego, does it even exist? Like, am I trying to battle this thing that is me? This is me. It's not, it's not this evil inside of me that makes me do stuff, that makes me that person I don't want to be. How do I know it even exists? This could be me, and I don't know. Do I need to be worrying about this? I'm not so much worried about it. I'm just, in a way, it's kind of like another religion. It's not quite religion, just a thought. And I suppose ego's thought of in other religions, like the devil is a depiction of ego. What I mean is, why believe in this rather than any other religion? I have no reason to believe that ego even exists. I'm not gonna start living my life around it. I don't know that I need to battle my ego, be a different person. I should just try and be the best person I can be in the end. I, regardless of what you think, whatever that takes, I'm just gonna try to be better, not center my life around something I don't even know is out there or in me.
There is something about yourself that you don't know, something that you will deny even exists until it's too late to do anything about it.
That was taken from the movie Revolver, directed by Guy Ritchie. And that's a movie about ego. and this guy, confused, who's really him, and he's trying to battle this. And I do as exactly as he says. I deny the existence of this. And I agree that, yeah, a lot of people, yeah, I don't deny people have ego and such that, yeah, people, like, people who are vain and, you know, do care a lot about how they are viewed, and in a lot of way I do. I mean, this is my ego editing this, you know. And this is me, I just, it's not showing the, you know, it's the best I can do. It doesn't really show me, so to say, because I cut out the bits where I think, no, that's because I'm not a fluent speaker like this. This is, you see, it takes work for me, and it's not, a lot of it isn't so much to make me look good, it's also for a smoother podcast, so listening to it isn't so bad. That's what I think. I also wanted to add that I don't really like the sound of my voice. I think it's quite, I don't know, it sounds kind of posh. So listening to this, I'm doesn't think it kind of sounds a bit, I don't know, it just sounds kind of heavy and nasally almost, but I don't really know what my voice is. I mean, I don't know if this is my voice, but sometimes this is my voice. That's not my voice. I'm putting that on, sorry. I was trying to think. No, this is my voice. Most of the time, but sometimes I come out with a higher pitched voice and, hello, yeah, sure, yeah, hello, my name's Roger, hello. But no, I don't really talk like that. Well, sometimes. No, not really. Or, and I've gotten the wrong idea, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what. It's not ego as a religion. It's not meant to be like that. It's just a trait, a characteristic of people. I suppose animals. Animals do have a little bit of ego, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I could have gotten it all wrong. I do this a fair bit, you know, just talking to myself, as, you know, I'm sure anyone does. But recording it feels more justified, less insane. You know, it's like I'm talking to someone rather than just to myself. And a lot of the time I find myself, when I'm thinking in my head, I'll know something and I'll just try and explain it to myself and why. I already know this, and I feel like there's these, well, it's not, but I think of it kind of in this way, it's these layers in my mind of, like, the top layer is this shout out loud layer, and then beneath that it gets less and less conscious, more subconscious, and you kind of, the thought pops in a lower layer, and then in a higher layer, you pick out a few words, and you, okay, word it this way, and then you progress, and you end up just telling yourself this, and then I have to stop myself, and I know this, why am I trying to explain something to myself? I already know, and I knew deep down what it is I was going to say as well when I end up saying those words, and I try and stop myself, and I cut it out, and then I ended up trying to think in this just completely, just a thought pops in, turn it off, like, sort of no speaking in my head, just the thought, no words, you know, no pictures, nothing, you know, just the thought, and then don't go further than that, it's just to work on it, and it's hard, and, you know, just try and control my brain a little more, as this more in control guy that I'm trying to be. And this ties back into ego. Eckhart Tolle said that ego is this habitual compulsive thought process that goes through everybody's mind, and that 98% of it is just repetition. Now, I was doing this long before I had even heard of Eckhart Tolle, so I was just naturally battling my ego inadvertently. And I try to control lots of different aspects of my whole body. I'm sort of ambidextrous, but not quite. Like, I do some things with some hands, some things with both hands. I write with my right hand, and I play tennis with my left hand. And there's a bunch of stuff like that. But I find myself wanting to use my opposite hand in that circumstance just to get better at it. And I just think, oh, what am I doing here? Like, when you fold your arms in a certain way that feels normal to you, like left over right or right over left, whichever way feels comfortable. And if you do it the other way, it just feels weird. Well, I always, like, my normal way to fold my arms is right over left, but I do left over right, even though just it's uncomfortable just to I don't know, try and get that symmetry, just see what my brain is doing and try and change it. And I reckon if I do that now, while I'm still, my brain is still making connections in my head and I'm still young, I can, you know, learn to overcome certain things and, you know, make new patterns, you know, shortcuts and stuff. Like, I wrote with my left hand for a long time, and now I can write with my left hand, but not as well as my right, but I can do it, you know, a fair bit better than a lot of other people, and I'm pretty glad for that. It only took, you know, it only took like a year of working on it, and I got it down pretty good. I should still work on it, I should. But like Kieran said in the last episode, that we're going to talk about 127 hours, and in that movie he has to cut off his hand. Well, for me to lose a limb is pretty hard, because I use both of my hands, and so that would be difficult for me, you know. But I think I'd learn quicker how to use, to do everything with one hand, if I had to chop off the other hand. So that's just another way I try and just, I don't know, go against, you know, the brain's natural instinct or something. Go against that and try and learn a new way and do something else. And it used to really get to me that I wanted to be able to do everything with both hands. And I'd get very worked up and frustrated over it if I couldn't. But, I don't know. I should just be kind of happy that I can for some things. You know. Whatever. I hear a lot of noises in my head. Like, when I'm lying awake in the middle of the night, I can hear, sometimes I hear music playing, like guitar, and I would think it's my brother playing, but it's not, because my brother plays god-awful songs, but no, it's nice music, nice guitar music, it's what I want to hear. And I go and investigate, and it's not, you know, not at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing, no noise. And then I lie back down, and I can hear it again, and I can just enjoy the music in the night, in my head. A lot of times when you can, you know, roughly hear a song playing, but you don't quite know what it is, I can say, oh, what if I think it's this song? And then I can just kind of hear the bits I want to hear that would go together with the song I'm thinking of. And it works, and I can hear that song. But then if I listen again closely, it's not that song at all. Also, I hear the noise the train barriers make when they go down. If I'm approaching them, I can hear them a lot of times, and I think, oh no, I've missed my window of opportunity to cross the tracks because the train barrier is going to go down. I'm going to have to wait for a train. But when I get there, no, the barriers were up. No trains, no noise, no lights. You know, it's all in my head. And I was just thinking, you can hear things you want to hear, but you can't smell things you want to smell, you can't taste things you want to taste. Like, right now, I have no idea what a lemon tastes like or smells like. You have to have it to know. Your brain doesn't have that ability to, you know, to remember smells and tastes. Well, you remember it once you smell it, you go, oh yeah, that smells like a lemon. But not when you have no contact with the lemon. Not at all. And I feel like I have this sixth sense, almost. I can remember the touch of things, though. Like, I can really feel it in my fingertips. I can approach an object and just stick my finger out and not touch it, but before I've touched it, I can really feel what it's going to feel like on my fingertips. I know the feeling. I got that remember. And I ask a lot of people, and they can't feel it. They don't know what it feels like. They don't have this feeling in their fingertips before they touch it. And then they touch it, and they know. I was wondering if I can remember the touch feeling. I can really feel it. It's a sense in my head, but it feels real. Then maybe there are people who can do this for smelling, for tasting something. They can really taste it in their head. It's not real. They know that. I know the touch isn't real, but you really got a sense of it's there and you know it. For most of my life, I felt like I was being watched, if not by a god or just by people. I would find myself acting differently depending on who I thought was watching me. It's only till recently that idea has been ruled out, and I no longer think like that. I feel like I'm coming to an age of understanding what kind of person I am becoming and what I inspire to be. I feel now that I'm coming out of an era of depression in my life. I first started getting depressed when I was 10. I just kind of thought, hang on, I don't really enjoy life and the day-to-day stuff. And I would think, is it all worth it? But now, at the age of 16, I'm no longer depressed, but nor am I happy. I realize what is. I've come to a reconciliation amongst myself. I have a sense of happiness, knowing that there's more change to come, though, hoping I turn out all right. I wanted to say that I didn't like the last episode, and that I never wanted this podcast to be about girls. However, I am glad that I did touch on the subject, and I gave some advice that someone took, and in a way I affected their life. And to me, it doesn't matter how many people listen to this, it doesn't matter if it's 4 or 400 or whatever. The fact that one person listens and comes away with a different point of view or a new understanding on a subject, to me, that makes the whole thing worth it. The point of doing this was to show a different side of myself that you wouldn't normally see, say, if you just met me in person. You only ever see one side of a person at one given moment. For instance, I'm a completely different person out and about than I am at home. You will never fully know me, nor will I fully know someone else. But I can try, and this will be the best I can do in this form of communication.